Welcome back, everyone. This is Sam.
And this is Corrine, and we are two OncDocs.
This week's episode, we will be talking about diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. The last time we covered this topic was in 2022, and there are some new changes, including a new Category 1 option in advanced DLBCL.
Absolutely. So I'm glad we're going over this because this is really a high yield for both our ITEs, boards, as well as when you're on consults and in clinics, since it's one of the more common aggressive lymphomas. So to start us off, what are the presenting symptoms for diffuse large B-cell lymphoma?
So the classic B symptoms to remember are weight loss, night sweats, fatigue, fever, as well as painless, rapid enlargement of a lymph node. And remember that the definition of a bulky lymph node is more than 7.5 centimeters. 30 to 40% of diffuse large B-cell, though, can present with extranodal disease. So it can present in the GI, CNS, thyroid. And if you have any suspicious symptoms, you really need to do an excisional lymph node biopsy because histologic grading cannot be performed with just a fine needle aspiration.
Absolutely. I think two things that you said that everyone needs to commit. Bulky lymph node is 7.5 centimeters. That sounds pretty generous, but just remember 7.5. And then you absolutely need something more than an FNA because you need that architecture to be able to classify these kinds of lymphomas. So once we have that biopsy done, tell us more about the classification of DLBCL.
So we need to do adequate immunophenotyping to establish whether the diffuse large B-cell is of germ cell or non-germ, of germinal cell. I'm thinking of germ cell.
A GU oncologist in you.
Germinal cell versus non-germinal cell origin, because those with non-germinal cell have a worse prognosis. And this is determined based on three markers, the Hantzsch classifiers, which are CD10, BCL6, and MUM1. You don't really need to know which is which for the purpose of boards, but they're clinically important for prognostication. And so the overall survival is much better for those of germinal cell origin. And generally, diffuse large B-cell will be CD20 positive, CD22 positive, CD45 positive, CD79 positive, and CD3, that T-cell marker, negative. And then there are also many subtypes of DLBCL, which can coexist with other types of lymphoma, or others known as gray zone, double hit, double expressor, T-cell rich.
Absolutely. And I think we're going to go over some of those when we talk about treatments. And so to start us off, tell us about double hit.
Double hit have MYC and BCL2 or BCL6 rearrangement as detected by FISH or standard cytogenetics. This phenotype is highly proliferative and drug resistant and associated with the worst prognosis. Another variant of double hit lymphoma is co-arrangement of MYC and the BCL6 gene. And rarely all three genes where you have BCL2, MYC, and BCL6 simultaneously rearrange in a phenotype termed triple hit lymphoma. So remember that for these double and triple hit, the standard R-CHOP is suboptimal.
Absolutely. I think that is important to remember these double hits and triple hits. Definitely know the BCL2, MYC, and BCL6 because it does change treatment and you need to kind of, you know, intensify from our standard R-CHOPs. What about a double expressor? What does that mean?
Double expressor is when you have immunohistochemical staining to identify protein expression of MYC. Also show that there are lymphomas in which MYC and BCL2 genes are overexpressed at a protein level without the genetic rearrangements. So dual expressor protein or double protein refers to immunohistochemical detection of MYC and BCL2 overexpression. And so these are called double expressor in the revised World Health, which was published in 2016. These are associated with an intermediate prognosis, worse than standard DLBCL, but better than double hit. And a recent phase 3 trial, DEB in China, published this year, showed that tucidinostat with R-CHOP may improve outcomes specifically in double expressor lymphoma. It's not approved in the U.S. and it's not in NCCN yet.
Very cool. And so how about the molecular markers of diffuse large B-cell lymphoma?
The molecular genomic clusters MCD, BN2, N1, EZB are emerging molecular classifications. So MCD and N1 carry a poorer prognosis, while EZB and BN2 are more favorable. It's not yet applied diagnostically in routine clinical practice.
Great. And so now we've talked a lot about confirming diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, talked about their stains as well as a little bit molecular. So what's the essential workup and staging?
So you're going to get a PET scan, you're going to do basic labs, and you want to make sure that you rule out things like tumor lysis. You want to check electrolytes. Hepatitis B testing can be done if you're going to use a CD20 monoclonal antibody. If anthracyclines are given, you want to get a baseline echo, and that stands for all cancers. And then you're going to consider the IPI, the International Prognostic Index. And then those at higher risk for CNS relapse will also be considered for a lumbar puncture with intrathecal methotrexate. And so those high risk include DLBCL of the testis, epidural, breast, high IPI score, double hit, those with HIV, nasal primary extranodal DLBCL. And then a bone marrow biopsy is only indicated if the PET does not confirm bone involvement in order to rule out stage 4 disease.
Absolutely. And I think the one important factor is that the PET scan is not just eyes to thighs. It's a full body PET scan when you're talking about staging for lymphoma. So you're checking those lymph nodes everywhere. And so you mentioned the IPI score. Can you tell us a little more about that prognostic factor?
So there's a new Apple mnemonic where we dropped a P, and the IPI mnemonic in the original was listed as Apple's APPLES, and now it's APLES. And now the 5 factors are age over 60, performance status, ECOG over 2, LDH, which is elevated, extranodal sites, as well as stage 3 or 4.
Definitely. And so you mentioned stage a few times. So how is DLBCL staged?
So stage 1 is a single lymph node group. Stage 2 are multiple lymph nodes on the same side of the diaphragm. Stage 3 are multiple lymph nodes on both sides of the diaphragm. And stage 4 are extranodal sites.
Great. And so we've covered, diagnosis, the workup. So now let's dive into the treatment. In limited disease, what are our treatment options?
So the treatment algorithm for limited stage disease has been refined, and the NCCN now uses the stage modified IPI or SMIPI rather than simply looking at bulky or non-bulky. And it's very similar to our Apple's mnemonic. So you have 4 factors in the SMIPI: age over 60, elevated LDH, ECOG 2 to 4, stage 2 or 2EE for extranodal. And then basically, if you have more than 1 point, you automatically go to the advanced pathway regardless of the bulk. Whereas if you have a SMIPI under 1, then you still go to non-bulky that can do the abbreviated 3 to 4 cycles of R-CHOP, as well as for the bulky, you still are going to do 6 cycles of R-CHOP for the SMIPI 0 to 1. Remember that bulky is over 7.5 centimeters. And then in different scenarios, you can also consider radiation. And then the advanced age pathway, we talk about 6 cycles of R-CHOP, and I'll also mention in a minute how we also now have the option of POLA RCHP.
Definitely. And so that's how we treat limited disease in diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. How are we treating extensive disease?
So our gold standard has been R-CHOP for 6 cycles, and you're going to repeat a PET after 2 to 4 cycles. We now also have polatuzumab, which is a CD79A monoclonal antibody with RCHP for 6 cycles, also category 1 for IPI equal or greater to 2 based on the POLARIX trial, which showed an improved 5-year PFS, 65% versus 59%. And then there is also TAFA-LEN-R-CHOP, which is tafasitamab, an anti-CD19 monoclonal antibody with lenalidomide with R-CHOP. And this is the frontMIND trial, which was published in June 2026 in The Lancet, but it's not in NCCN. So this will not be tested yet. So I think for boards, still definitely remember R-CHOP for 6 cycles. And then for geriatric patients over 80, you can consider mini-CHOP. And then if patients don't respond, always think about repeating biopsy. And then we're going to talk next about relapse or refractory disease.
Absolutely. So in that relapsed or refractory setting, how are we talking about treatment?
So here you want to ask yourself 2 questions. Have they relapsed within 12 months? And are they considered primary refractory? In this case, CAR-T is preferred. And then if they have relapsed more than 12 months, are they a transplant candidate? So if they're transplant eligible, you can think about platinum-based salvage therapy. And then if they have a complete or partial response, think about an autologous stem cell transplant. And then if they don't have a response, consider CAR-T therapy. And so the CAR-T here is our axicabtagene ciloleucel, tisagenlecleucel, as well as lisocabtagene maraleucel. And those are indicated for both primary refractory disease, relapse within 12 months of first-line therapy or third-line setting. And then there are also further options in the third line setting, like bispecific antibodies, epcoritamab or glofitamab, which are targeting CD3, CD20. And then some other targeted options include loncastuximab, which is an anti-CD19 antibody drug conjugate.
Definitely. Know the bispecific antibodies, know what the targets are, because you can be tested on the mechanism of action of any of these drugs. And so who needs a more intense treatment regimen?
So dose-adjusted R-EPOC is the standard for double-hit lymphoma. And so this is dose-adjusted R-EPOC, which includes rituximab, etoposide, prednisone, vincristine, cyclophosphamide, and doxorubicin. And then you can consider dose adjustments based on hematologic toxicity, specifically if patients have neutropenia or thrombocytopenia.
Definitely. And so for those who are cured, how do we do follow-up surveillance for these patients?
So generally, you're going to do a CT in terms of the surveillance, no more than 6 months for 2 years, every 6 months. And then the imaging stops. And then a PET is not generally recommended for routine surveillance. So that's also important to know. Patients who do not relapse within the first 24 months have a very good prognosis, with life expectancy approaching the general population. So we've come a long way in terms of highly curable disease with DLBCL. Yeah. And then you still need to do HNP and labs for up to 5 years.
Awesome. And so thanks for covering our diffuse large B-cell lymphoma update for 2026. What are the key takeaways that we have?
So you really want to think about limited versus advanced stage. So the limited, non-bulky, low SMPI, you can do abbreviated R-CHOP 3 to 4 cycles. For the advanced stage or high SMPI, you're going to do 6 cycles of R-CHOP or Pola-R-CHP. For bulky disease, also consider targeted radiation. As I mentioned, Pola-R-CHP is a new category 1 option. So they might still be testing on the boards, you know, primarily R-CHOP. And think about CAR T for relapse refractory disease within 12 months. Think of salvage chemo and auto transplant if they relapse after more than 12 months, if they're chemosensitive, and then if not, then do CAR T. And then we have all of these new bispecific antibodies that we mentioned. For double hit, remember dose adjusted R-EPOC, and then do not do PETs in surveillance. And as always, thank you for listening. Please reach out to us with corrections or comments. And good luck with studying. And we are reachable on Instagram or Twitter at 2OngDocs.